In preparing for a Shabbos Kodesh, one of the most important things we have to do is prepare our food. V'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, we have to have fresh and we have to have warm food on Shabbos. We have to do so according to halacha guidelines. It has to be done correctly, but we have to have warm food. And so one of the most important areas of Hilchas Shabbos naturally is going to be the gastronomic area. And so it should be. But all of this means that those Baalos Habayis who are preparing for their homes, for their families, are critically important in the halachic process, just as they are in the gastronomic process, to make sure that everything is done properly and to make sure that everybody can enjoy Shabbos Kodesh to the utmost, can enjoy the Karoso La Shabbos Oneg. We're going to first, therefore, talk about the preparations that come before Shabbos and deal with some of the issues that arise and that pertain to how to prepare what we commonly call the Shehiya. Shehiya meaning that which you prepare and put up for it to stay as is from before Shabbos and carry on over into Shabbos. And then, of course, we'll later on get on into all that which pertains to what you can or cannot do on Shabbos itself. Obviously, we are going to look at the kinds of things that used to be in the days of old so we can come to understand how they apply to what exists and to the kinds of ovens, to the kinds of urns, to the kinds of stovetops that we have today. And most of it really is ultimately the same. A source of heat that causes a food to go from being raw to becoming edible. The idea of the malacha of bishul is just that. Something which, if you don't heat it up, is something that you cannot enjoy as much or can't be enjoyed at all. Apply the heat and you have something that you can enjoy. You have something that has changed. The kind of change, the amount of change is important. There are those instances in which something can be warmed up, but if it was already perfectly edible and is typically eaten that way, raw, there are those poskim who will tell you that that's not considered an act of bishul midoraisa. But in most instances, when something has changed because of heat, what has happened is bishul. To understand this conceptually, it's important to add that that which is changed, even if it's not edible, meaning it's not about food, it could be about a light bulb. That is, that when you run electricity through a thin tungsten filament, it heats up to the point where it glows red, which is exactly what you want. That heat in the metal also is considered an act of bishul. It does not therefore mean only food. It means anything where, because of heat, you accomplish the change, either that it becomes red hot in the case of metal, or something hard becomes soft, something soft becomes hard. You take mud, you mix it with some other ingredients, maybe some straw, you shape it, you put it in a kiln, and you bake a brick. It's bishul, and constitutes the iser of bishul on Shabbos, even though it's a brick. And most of us don't want to cook bricks, and we don't want to serve them, and if it happens, it's a huge accident, and no one, you know. But no, that's called bishul, because ultimately you're taking something soft, you're using heat, you're making it hard. We have to understand this, because that's how we can understand the concept of what bishul is. Now, truthfully, in the Mishkan, which is the source of all of the halachos of Shabbos, all of the lamatas malachos are those malachos which were used to prepare the Mishkan. If it wasn't used to prepare the Mishkan, it's not a malacha. One of the important concepts in Shabbos always is going to be that you think something is such a terrible thing, you can't do that on Shabbos. Why not? Why can't it be done? The approach should always be, it seems to be fine, it's something you're allowed to do, unless and until one can show that it really does have a lot to do with or is a manifestation of one of the lamates malachas. But until somebody can say, no, well, of course you can't do that, it's one of the lamates malachas, it's not usur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for us to have a difficult time, a hard day, or a difficult day. On the contrary, he wants us to enjoy our day. He wants it to be oneg. So therefore, we have to always remember, especially when we talk about other areas of halacha, we shouldn't assume something is usur until and unless we know that it is. The idea of bishul comes from the Mishkan, of course, because there were those ingredients used to make wool dye, to take tchelis, to take argaman, to las shani, to use all of these various colorful types of cloth to prepare the tapestries of the Mishkan, the roof, the oyel of the Mishkan, and the Yiriyos Oyel, the Yiriyos HaMishkan below them, all of these on top of the Mishkan, and then of course the begadim, the clothes worn by the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol with all of those colors, in order to get those colors, they used to take certain herbs, they had certain kinds of plants that they used to then grow, dry the herbs, pound them, pulverize them, and make a thick mixture with water, cook it, boil it, to make a dye. And ultimately, that's the source of malacha that we call bishul. It is, of course, prohibited to cook, naturally, even to bake, because again, as we said, you're taking heat and using heat to change something's form, either to make it edible, to make it hard, to make it soft. But the source of the din, the source is from the Mishkan. And the Mishkan's case, the Mishkan's circumstance of Bishul, interestingly enough, was the creation of a dye for the color used to make the Big De Kahuna and the Yiriyos HaMishkan, the Yiriyos HaOwel, which were the tapestries and the paroches and the roof on top of the Mishkan. That's the source of the din. As we said, we're going to talk first about that which comes before Shabbos. And that which comes before Shabbos is so important because once you set it up correctly, there's a lot that you can rest easy with and not have to be concerned with. And setting it up, as we're going to learn, setting it up properly means that you will also be able to do more things on Shabbos if you've set up what you need to set up properly before Shabbos. The chazara, as it's called, to take something off and then put it back to where it was so that it could still stay warm. That all depends on what you set up before Shabbos. So therefore, we're talking about shehiya, but it's going to have impact on what's considered mutter on Shabbos as well. So let's talk first about what shehiya, what it is that you can set up and how you can set it up. The basic idea is to set up our ovens and our stovetops such that we are allowed to keep foods warm from before Shabbos and they can stay hot on into Shabbos. Notice I said stay hot because that's key. What's key is to try to get all of your food fully cooked, certainly at least half cooked before Shabbos. What's key is, even in the case of simple water in your urn, best circumstance, have the water fully boiled before Shabbos. Now, if it's in an urn where you don't pick it up and take it off the source of heat and put it back, it's not as important. But let's take, as an example, a pot of water, a simple kettle, which some of us still do. We don't necessarily use an urn every Shabbos. During the winter in our home, for example, it's like, why not? We're going to use the blech anyway. Why run an urn on extra electricity if you can just take a kettle and keep it on the same blech together with everything else? Right? Why not? You know? And, summertime where we try not to use the blech because it's so hot, so there we might have an urn every Shabbos. Shabbos after Shabbos after Shabbos because, you know, the chalent is in the crock pot and the blech is off. There's no blech and we have an urn on the one hand and a crock pot on the other and everybody's happy. It's Shalom Al Yisrael, you know. But let's say you're using a kettle, good old-fashioned kettle sitting on top of the blech. You want to be able to pick that kettle up, pour tea, maybe 2 hours after Shabbos starts. You want to be able to pour a cup of tea and then put the kettle back. But in order to do that, you have to make sure that the kettle is not just more than 120, 130 degrees before Shabbos. You have to make sure that the water there has fully boiled, or at least has reached above 160 degrees before Shabbos. Otherwise, let's understand what you're doing, is taking water, which is not yet fully cooked, and it's only at 130 degrees because you put it up cold before Shabbos. And now when you pour your tea, it's delicious, it's 130 degrees, but when you put it back, you're putting it back so that it can gain heat. You're not allowed to do that because it's not yet ever been fully boiled. So that's just one example of why it's clear. The best thing to do is to have enough time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us be home in time. Some of us work. Some of us have to be very busy on a short Friday. Best thing is to have yourself completely ready with that kettle of water, as an example, fully cooked before Shabbos, so that you don't have to worry about, wait a minute, if I take it off, can I put it back? And you may not ever have thought about that question. But yes, you can take it off and put it back if you keep it in your hand and you intended to put it back, which is always the case, and if it was fully boiled before Shabbos. Otherwise, there's a real issue, because even simple water, which, after all, does it really change that much? Liquids are considered to be changed simply by the fact that now what was cold is now hot. Whereas we said before that in solid foods, the idea of changing it from hard to soft, soft to hard, making it edible when it wasn't edible, that's very important in solids. But in liquids, the mere fact that it went from cold to hot is huge. Huge. And problematic when it comes to the halacha. Therefore, of course, that's why a fully cooked soup, according to the vast majority of poskim, and that's how we poskim, a fully cooked soup, fully cooked, that's cold. You can't heat that up on Shabbos. But you'll say to me, what do you mean? After all, it's fully cooked. You're not changing it from raw to... It doesn't make a difference. In the case of liquids, the difference between something that's cold and something that's hot is so obvious and so much more enjoyable when it's warm than when it's cold. Whatever example you want to make. Chicken soup. I mean, a great example is chicken soup. Have you ever had cold chicken soup? Yum, delicious. I don't think so, right? So you can appreciate now, right, using that as an example, the difference between the cold chicken soup and the hot chicken soup. So even though it's fully cooked before Shabbos, you can't heat it up on Shabbos. So that's part of the reason why we say, yesh bishul, achar bishul, on a davar lach. That's something that's wet, something cold. That's not something you want to have. Warm it up, you do want to have it. That's one of the reasons why we say heating up a liquid, even if it's fully cooked, is not permissible. Now, that's again a very important thing. Let's talk about soup. Soup that you want to serve Friday night. And it's been fully cooked already Wednesday, Thursday. And you remember, oh, the soup, let's put it on the blech. Now, we're talking before Shabbos now. We're not talking about doing things on Shabbos. Let's put it on the blech a moment before Shabbos. So that's permissible. 100% permissible. Because it's fully cooked. And if I'm late and I have no time, put it on the blech. By the time my husband comes home from shul, it's going to be piping hot. No problem. True. But let's remember, if it's piping hot and was fully cooked, only in those circumstances would I be allowed to serve some of the soup to my little granddaughter or grandson before Papa or Zaidi comes home and put the soup back on the blech. Because if it's not been made piping hot and it's still in the process of warming up on Shabbos, then taking it off when it's only 100 degrees. You don't want to burn the little child. You can't give a child 160 degree soup. So you take it off the blech when it's only 100 degrees. Let's say 105 degrees, 106 degrees. That's plenty hot, let me tell you. But you can't put it back. Because it's not yet reached what's called Yad Salades. So you wouldn't be allowed to take something like that necessarily, having been placed on the blech cold before Shabbos, and now it's not even reached Yad Soledes, huge question whether or not you're allowed to take that, having taken it off, and put it back on Shabbos. So therefore, again, another example of why it's best, and it's really urged upon us by the poskim. This is not myself, this is poskim, now for hundreds and hundreds of years, who say, have a blech, cover your fire, and do as much as you can before Shabbos to have everything hot. Let alone cooked, but cooked and hot. at the time that Shabbos begins. Because there's so much more that's easy and possible when you've set up the blech or the oven that way. Now, I just want to mention that as far as taking things in and out, when you have Shabbos in mind and you want to take something out of the oven, into the oven, out of the oven, into the oven, a lot of questions exist in the case of an oven where the stovetop is far easier. So let's talk about what's easy first. The stovetop is a place where you can cover the stovetop with a blech. It's best if you can to cover the knobs as well, but at least you have to cover the fire. Let's understand why. Of course, min ha-Torah, a person would be allowed to take a pot of any kind of food, put it on the fire, raw, directly on the fire, raw, before Shabbos, a minute before Shabbos. That is, the Balas HaBayis could come and say, okay, let's cook something. She puts in all the ingredients, mixes it up and says, delicious, this is going to be a great soup, puts it on the fire, walks into the dining room and lights Shabbos candles and, good Shabbos, min ha-Torah, what'd you do? What's happening? Did anybody do anything on Shabbos? Absolutely not. I'm allowed to turn a light switch on and then light candles. Not a problem. And it's really no different because I'm preparing, I'm cooking, I'm making, baking. I stop right as Shabbos begins and I light candles. So min ha-Torah, of course, you don't need this blech. Min ha-Torah, you don't need to have the food fully cooked. You don't need to have it even partially cooked or half-cooked, known as kema'achal ben drusoy. But what's going to happen? What's the natural thing that everybody, any chef, any balas habayis, anybody who cares, are you going to just walk away from that pot and say, it's going to be fine? Of course it's going to be fine, because you're going to come back and you're going to see what's doing. And you're going to see, does it need something else? Does it need to be, just to stir a pot is already highly, highly questionable. It might be even a d'oraisa. It may be biblically prohibited to stir a pot of food that's on the fire that's not yet fully cooked. Let alone, oh, you know, the fire is too small. And for us, it's even easier than it was. Remember, the idea of Shem Yechata Bagacholim, which is what the Gemara classically says is the problem. You know, you might stoke the coals a little bit. What? Who's stoking coals? Add wood. I got to go. Schlep wood. No! I just go like this. Or like this. Right? And immediately, extra heat. It's warmer. It's hotter. It gets cooked. But it's also two d'oraisas, two biblical prohibitions. Just that little press of a button, or that little in a knob to make it go a little higher, two melachos d'oraisa, God forbid. One, burning the gas a little higher, a little more gas. Making the fire larger means havar. So it's esh, that's one. And cooking, that's two. And it's just a tiny little, it's just nothing. And it could happen so easily. So yeah, I'm trying to express why Chazal did what they did by saying, cover the fires. Now, cover the fire, in those days, meant putting a damper on the fire. Meaning, causing it not only to be out of mind, where you are doing something that's going to make it clear to you yourself that you are not going to tamper with this food anymore, but it also meant covering the coals with a little bit of ashes, a layer, actually, of white burnt out ash, just one little layer, or actually shoveling the coals out. That's the classic example given by the Gemara. The Talmud teaches us that the way to set up the oven with your food on or in the oven for Shabbos and to set it up before Shabbos is by causing the oven to be either goruf or katum. Goruf meaning you shovel out all the coal, which literally means you turn off or take out the fire, which people still do. If you think about it, that's something that's still very commonly done. There are many people who take, if they have good ovens, right? Good, well-constructed ovens, not too big, not too small, very well insulated. They take their food, put it in the oven before Shabbos, turn on for an hour and a quarter, all the previously cooked food. It gets piping hot. And just before they tzin lich, just before candle lighting, they turn the oven off. The oven is capable of retaining so much heat that they are going to have hot food readily 2 hours later. And that works. Many people do it. But that is classically what Chazal tell us. That's exactly what it means to have a kira or a tanur garuf, where the heat source is removed, or in our case, turned off. The other sense with which Chazal say we should prepare ourselves and know that we can go deal with our food, I say it because the idea is to have a heker, a sense of what I may or may not do. Remind yourself. Is to remind ourselves by covering the coals with a little bit of ashes. Now that means you leave the heat source where it is, but you cover it. And that does two things, as we said. It causes you to remember from before Shabbos that I did something so that I would be reminded not to do anything more. And it also dampers the flame. It also puts a little less power to the flame. It makes it a little weaker. And that's an important issue. The two things we accomplish when we take heavy metal, or not so heavy, tin, and place it down on top of the fires, simple thing that we accomplish is the idea of reminding ourselves, this I'm doing because on Shabbos I want to be able to go to my food and take and serve, maybe even serve if it's possible, and put back, which I cannot do if it's an open fire. So I'm doing this in order to be able to keep my food hot if it's not yet fully cooked, get it fully cooked. I'm doing all this in order to be allowed to do that, which is going to remind me that it's Shabbos and that I'm not allowed to turn the heat higher, or if things are burning, turn the fire off. That's what the blech is there for. But it's also there for the purpose of making the fire a little less pronounced in its power, a little weaker. And because of that, this is something that maybe we've not heard before. It's better to not put the blech on and then turn the fire on. It's better to not put the blech on top of the fire when the fire's on and then lower the fire in that order. The best way, and the most correct way, is to turn the fire on. We're talking, again, everything that's now being discussed is before Shabbos. We're talking only about before Shabbos, but the right way. Because what the idea of Garuf HaKatam, according to Rashi, is, Rashi specifically says, it's to lessen the fire. So for that purpose, and in that spirit, what you want to do is not put the blech on and then turn the fire on. Because then the blech is not an act in which you are mitigating heat or making it at all weaker. So therefore, for that reason, the best way to do it is turn the fire on, adjust it to exactly how small or large you'd like it to be. Then gently, so it doesn't blow out, gently place the blech on top. Now, if you didn't do it that way, certainly, but the avad, it's still, after all, covered. You'd be allowed to use it that way and go on, but we're not here just to get by. We're trying to learn what's the right way and to understand why, understand the concept. And here what we've come to learn is that the idea of covering the fire is twofold because of Rashi, who says it is to give a little bit of a minimization, a weakening of the power of the flame. And because of that, sensibly, the way to accomplish it is have it on, and on at the level you want it, not more, not less, and then cover it. That accomplishes these two things. That the fire has been, in a sense, made a little weaker, or the heat source a little weaker, and you've done something that will surely remind you surely remind you that, oh, I'm not supposed to raise the fire. I'm not supposed to mix what's on top of my blech when that soup is not yet fully cooked. So while we have said it's best to have everything fully cooked before Shabbos, best to have it all completely hot before Shabbos, and then sitting on the blech, and then going to light candles. We understand that not always is going to be the case. But with a blech, one would be allowed, if necessary, to put food that's not yet fully cooked onto the blech, because that accomplishes what the Gemara describes as katum, gorufa katum, in this case katum. Next week we'll talk about how that can or cannot be so easily accomplished on the inside of an oven. It's not as simple as in the case of the blech that goes on top of the fire to accomplish this kind of A, minimizing of the heat, B, heker, something different going on that will remind me not to tamper with the food that's in the oven. We'll see next week how it might be a little more difficult, and yet how it might be accomplished nevertheless.